best practices suck. They suck because they're like the bare minimum, and everyone, you know, you go online and you search for like, how do I optimize my landing page? And it says, do this one thing, and you will increase by 300%. Best practices are someone else's, and they're not specific to you and your audience and your product. So I urge people to use best practices with, a grain of salt, and not always copy what other people are doing.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of PPC Town Hall. My name is Fred Vallès. I'm your host. I'm also CEO and co-founder at Optimizer, a PPC management tool. So for today's episode, we got Talia Wolf joining us from Get Uplift, and we wanted to take a look at some of the auxiliary services to direct PPC and search marketing. Obviously, when you're buying clicks and you're spending money on ads, all of that is completely pointless if you take people to a horrible landing page and you don't get your prospects to convert. So we wanted to go and take a look at what's happening in 2024. Obviously, things have changed quite a bit in terms of consumer behavior. And so do the techniques that you would have used 5 years ago still work today in a landscape where there's much more Gen AI, much more consumption of video? And for that, we have Talia. So with that, let's get rolling with another episode of PPC Town Hall. All right, Talia, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. So you're a landing page expert. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and where you work.
So I'm Talia Wolf. I'm the founder of Get Uplift, which is a conversion optimization agency. And we specialize in emotional marketing and emotional resonance and really using emotion and psychology to optimize websites and funnels. And of course, landing pages, which we will be talking about today. I'm a speaker and I'm a coach and I'm writing my book finally. This is the year it's happening. I keep saying this all the time, but I'm actually going to do it. It's wonderful. We really, really love helping different brands optimize their websites by truly understanding their customers and not just changing elements on the page.
That's great. So yeah, it's psychology of marketing, right? And bringing emotion to marketing. You had quite an interesting post on LinkedIn, something about watching Queen Charlotte on Netflix. Tell us how that relates to emotional marketing.
Yeah, that's a great question. It really resonated for me because one of the biggest mistakes that companies make these days is when you ask them who their customers are, they will say, well, you know, this person is this age, the general description of how old they are, their age, geographical location, the browser they're using, maybe their job description. But that's kind of the layer of it, right? There's nothing deeper than that. And that's where we come in a lot of the times when we talk about, but who is this person? What are their real emotions? How are they feeling? What are their challenges that they're facing? How do they want to feel after finding a solution? And with Charlotte, with Queen Charlotte, it was just an interesting take on how, you know, she was about to marry the King of England and she has never seen him in her life. And she walks around the Buckingham Palace, I presume, I can't remember. And she's just asking, tell me about this king. Tell me about the king. And everyone says, he's the king. He's the monarch. He's the king. He's the ruler of Great Britain. And that's all like technically correct. Yes, he is the monarch. He is the king. But she was looking for more information. She wanted to know, what books does he read? Is he kind? Is he nice? Is he friendly? What does he like to eat for supper? And it just resonated with me, you know, this really is what a lot of brands do. We skip over the fundamentals of really understanding who is behind the screen. And we just offer facts because we've been told to be data driven. So we're looking at numbers and we're treating our customers like robots or cash machines and not actual people that have problems that we need to solve.
Right. And so in marketing, that would manifest itself as a landing page that says we're the number one PPC management software. We have a 4.8 star rating on Capterra. we've been in business since, you know, 2013. It's like, okay, those are your facts, right? That's your Wikipedia page, basically. But is that what the landing page is supposed to do? So how do you like transition though from, I mean, people do want to know the facts, right? They want to have that sort of those credibility builders. How do you bring emotion into that?
Well, I think it really depends on who your target audience is. And that information is very important. People want to know how long you've been in business. They want to know, you know, your credibility. But first, they want to know if you're the right solution for them, if you can help them specifically. And one of the first things you need to do when someone lands on your landing page is say, clearly, this is the problem that I'm going to solve for you. And this is how you, this is the result you're going to get. This is my big promise. Because when you think about how people search online right now, they're opening multiple tabs to find the right person for them, the right agency for them, or even the right product for them. And they're only going to stick on what piques their curiosity, on what makes them feel, wait, I think this person really understands me. So it's not that the information doesn't matter. It's when you present it. Having we're the number one PPC team or the number one software in the world on your homepage might be something important, you know, if it's true. It's great to have it there. But what people are really looking for is to know, when I land on this page, can I immediately see this page is for me? This is the problem they're going to solve it for me. And this is how. And that is more important. That's where emotion comes in, because anyone coming to your website is experiencing a problem right now. They're in a challenge and they've come to you to help solve it. And telling them that you've been in the business for 10 years is cool, but that's not saying, but you can trust us that we will actually get this job done and here's how we're going to do it.
Right. So step one is like, we are here, we can help solve your problem. And then the credibility builders might take them across that final leap of actually signing up for a trial, becoming a customer. Now, obviously, everybody's kind of looking for a different, or not everybody, right? But you have groupings of people who are looking for different solutions, different products. I mean, say that you're in e-commerce and you sell, you know, 50 different types of fridges. How would you sort of break that down? How many landing pages do you ultimately need? It sounds very much like having one landing page that speaks to everyone, that is sort of about like, this is the brand, this is how long we've been in business. Like, you're saying that doesn't work, right? But how granular should we think about getting?
Ultimately, it's about storytelling, right? So you need to know what your prospect is feeling right now. How do they feel at this moment that brought them to your website? And you need to know how they want to feel after finding a solution. What is it that they want to feel about themselves? What are they going to be doing better? What are people going to think about them? How are they going to feel about themselves? So on a landing page, especially in e-commerce, by the way, what you're trying to do is not just show the product. You're trying to show what it's going to look like for them and how it's going to solve their problem. And there are many, many ways you can do that with emotion, whether if it's with the copy that you're using for the title of the page, the description of the page, the visuals and images that you're using for your product, the reviews and recommendations, the social proof. You know, you mentioned before having a 4.8 star reviews and talking about, you know, we've worked with these clients. But I think one of the key things that people miss with social proof, because we all know social proof works, right? There's no one here listening to this podcast and going, oh my God, social proof. That's crazy. Why did I never think about it? But I think that the biggest thing is with social proof, what people forget and are completely missing is that it's not just social proof. It's not enough to just slap some logos on a page and say, these are the companies we work with, or have, you know, those reviews there. What you need to do is use social proof to break down roadblocks, hesitations, concerns that people have from buying from you. So it's not enough to just say, this company is the best company ever. That I could see anywhere. What I'm looking to see is, if I'm buying a product right now and I'm really worried about the battery life of it, I want to see a testimonial that directly says, oh my gosh, before I bought this product, I was sure it will break down immediately. I've been running with it for 6 days straight and I haven't needed to charge it even once. So it feels like the wrong testimonial, but it's the perfect testimonial. So within your product pages, there's so much you can do to leverage emotion when you understand your customers specifically, and you can really optimize everything.
And how, I mean, tell me, how do you go about that, right? Because so if you have a watch and you want to make sure that the battery lasts enough to track all of your runs, how do you sort of get to that is the thing that would make this consumer buy that watch versus someone else who might be like, well, does it integrate with the phone that I have, or does it do these other things? And I'm thinking very much from a search perspective, right? So people might go and do, like, do they get that specific in their searches? And so you make landing pages for each of these buckets. Like, how do you put that into practice?
Mostly the first thing that we do is research, and that's the key to everything. Looking at traffic sources is great, and looking at what people are searching for online is great. But not everyone searches for a specific pain or a specific concern. Like, they might actually put in the type of watch and write battery life, right? That's a very specific thing. And then you don't necessarily have to create a landing page for that unless it's a huge query. You could just pop them into that part of the page that talks about battery life. But going a step back and looking into the foundations of stuff, really what you want to do is understand those concerns. And that's where surveys come in, interviews come in. You want to be interviewing your own customers, surveying visitors that are coming to the website, and uncovering the roadblocks, uncovering the desired outcomes, how people want to feel, how they're feeling right now, really understanding your unique selling proposition. What do people really love about you, and what pain have you eliminated for them? And once you do that research, that's when you can uncover those things and you can address them on your pages.
Right. And I suppose sometimes we're too focused on, like, hey, we're trying to find new customers and working with prospects. But what you're really saying is tap into your existing customer base, the people who have taken that leap, and learn from them what it is that maybe moved them emotionally to make that commitment.
Yeah, for sure. And I think ultimately it's marrying the two. It's going onto your website and asking visitors what's stopping them from converting, what made them come to the website today, what's itching. And it's speaking to customers and asking, hey, what made you come to the website? What convinced you to convert? What hesitations, what concerns did you have before, purchasing from us? How are you convinced that we could solve it? How are you feeling right now? What pain has this eliminated or lessened for you? All these questions help you look at, okay, here are the things that people are worried about. Here's what people are saying that helped them get over this worry. Now let's marry the two and say, okay, this is a big concern, battery life. Let's have some social proof about that. Let's have a whole section about that. This is just an example, but it could really be anything. With Upright, one of our clients, they sell a brilliant product that you place on your back, and it basically vibrates every time you slouch. And the whole point of this tool is to help you sit up straight and fix your posture. And when we did our research, the website always said, fix your posture, new year, get a healthy posture. But ultimately, what was interesting is we uncovered that when we did our interviews, that a lot of people felt ashamed. They felt guilt. They all knew they had to work on their posture. They all started the day thinking, today's the day, I'm going to sit up straight, I'm going to fix this. And as the day progressed and they sat more and more in front of their computer, they were slouching and they just never remembered. And there was a lot of guilt around that. So we actually created an entire section right below the header of the homepage saying, poor posture isn't your fault, but there is something you can do about it. And we eliminated that pain and said, everyone forgets to sit up straight. Everyone feels this way. Here's how we can fix this and take it away from you, so you don't have to worry about it anymore. So it's just about uncovering those pains,
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, and you're mentioning a few times here now, like there's a section on the page that does this, does just that. There's sort of this notion maybe that landing pages need to be short, or that was historically, they tended to be shorter. But it sounds like you're talking about fairly long landing pages, right? So let's talk about that. What's the ideal length? And is there a misconception about what length is the right one?
I love that. You know, Joanna Wiebe, that she's the OG of conversion copywriting. She always says, you know, people aren't dumb. They can read if you give them a reason to. And it's so true, because we have landing pages that are sometimes 3,000 and 5,000 words, and they convert better than any short page there is. So it really is about the content that you're adding to the page, as long as you are making it about the customer. And every section gives them the why they should care, how this is, you know, about them. They will read. They will read everything, and they will convert. So it's just about going back to the foundation.
Yeah, so let me challenge that for a second, right? Will they actually read? So I have three children, and we've had au pairs to help us with childcare for a long time. And they tend to be early 20s, like 21, 22 years old. And the last two or three that we've had, they almost proudly proclaim that they don't read anymore, because everything they get, anything they need, they go to TikTok, they search on Instagram. It's all about video content. How does that fit in, right? Again, because like, sure, there's people who like to read, and given the right needs, sure, people will read, but isn't video sort of the more modern and easier way to communicate? Plus, if we're looking for emotion, video is more emotional, right? I mean, you see the person's emotion in that, as opposed to text, which can often be misconstrued, and it's easy to miss that emotional component in it.
Yeah. Video is the gateway, right? Video piques your interest. If you're on TikTok and you're scrolling up and down, or you're on Instagram, at some point you're clicking through to somewhere and you're emotionally bought. You're thinking, yeah, I need that scrunchie or whatever. I need that. That will change my life. If I get this thing that hangs in the bathroom, that will change everything. You know, you're scrolling on TikTok and you're seeing a video and it compels you to click or to tap on the ad and go to the landing page. I would argue that at this point, you don't actually need a video. You could still have it, but you need the right information. Now, I'm not saying everyone's going to read word by word. There are different types of readers. There are skimmers. There are in-depth readers. So like, sometimes we do a lot of B2B heavy products like cybersecurity, and there they read every single word, okay? But when you're working on e-commerce, it's a bit different. Not everyone reads, and that's fine. But you need to have the information on the page that they care about, and you need to know how they read. You want to highlight the right things. You want to make font size bigger on certain headlines. You want to showcase certain images so that then when they're scrolling and they're like, okay, battery life, okay, yeah, like that doesn't matter. And then they're like, oh, wait, this, I care about this. Then they'll zoom in and they'll take the time to read that. But if they don't see the first few things and they're just like registering in their mind, okay, yeah, got it, that they're not going to get to the point where they care about that they're going to read. And everyone's different. So I would argue you need all that information on the page. You just need to know how to serve it in the right way, depending on who your audience is.
Makes sense. And so in terms of serving that, talk a little bit about what you think are the most common and the biggest mistakes that advertisers or companies still make on landing pages today.
I'm going to say, you know, the biggest mistake, again, and this takes us back to the original point, is that we make it about ourselves, right? We talk about our features and our pricing, and we immediately highlight the sale and the price, and we kind of forget that there's a customer there. That really is hands down the biggest mistake. The additional pieces to that are, you know, you're not solving a problem on the page. People are clicking from an ad, which piqued their interest, right? They've seen an ad. They're like, I need this problem solved. I'm intrigued. I click over, and then you get there and you don't actually solve the problem for them. And what that means is you're just talking about something else, or you're trying to sell them on something they don't really care about, or you're selling them on something that they should care about, but they're not there at the customer journey yet. They still need to read more. So a lot of the mistakes that I see is you're just not solving the problem. You are speaking to people in a wrong stage of awareness. You know, there are five different stages of awareness in a customer journey. Someone who, you know, is completely unaware they have the problem. someone who is pain aware, so they have a problem, but they don't think there's anything they can do about it. Then there's solution aware, meaning I have a problem, I know there's solutions, now I'm interested, should I hire someone, should I buy a product, should I get a VA, should I just do it myself, should I download an app? They're not really sure, and that's when they start reading blog posts and they start trying to figure out, you know, they go into forums, they go onto Reddit, they go into LinkedIn, and they're trying to figure that out. Product aware people are people that know your product and now they are comparing you to the other product. And this is key here because most brands, when they create landing pages, they act like everyone's product aware. Everyone's in the process of deciding if they want this company or that company. But most aren't. A lot of people click through from ads where they're not 100% sold. They even need a solution, or the problem even requires something. So what you need to do is really dig in and understand, where is my prospect in that awareness journey before you start saying it's half, but you know, it's half off, 50% off, grab this now, last minute, you know, it's running out. Those kind of things only work on people that are product aware or most aware. So that's a big problem that I'm seeing all the time.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I guess that translates into the issue being it's sort of one landing page that tries to be, or that focuses on the wrong facts, but really you needed four different landing pages for these, or the five for the different stages of awareness. And then in addition to that, you also need to kind of segment it out or have enough sections so that for each of the levels of awareness, you go into each of the specific pain points or unique value propositions so that you have this kind of like matrix of places that you can take them to. Is that kind of an okay way to think about it?
Yeah, I think it also just depends on the goal. Sometimes people are just ready to sign up for an email list and they're not yet ready to buy. And then that should be the focus on talking about their problem, relating to them, showing them you understand them, talking a bit about how you got over this pain or how you solved it for yourself, and inviting them to follow you, inviting them to be part of your journey. And then the next part, when you are hitting them with ads because they're on your list or you're emailing them, then you can take it a step further and start talking about, here are the different solutions you may have tried. Here's why they didn't work. Here's why ours will work. So I think it really depends on, you can have one big sales page or landing page that covers everything from the unaware to completely most aware, ready to convert. It's done. It's done a lot on course sales pages, right? When you, like, your 5,000 words of selling you on this course, and they work. But you can also divide it into pages. You can divide it into emails. You can divide it into ad, landing page, thank you page. People forget. You asked me about biggest mistakes in ads and in landing pages. Oh my gosh, not leveraging thank you pages. So the thank you page is an additional page you can talk about and you can move people in the customer journey. So yeah, I agree. I think you can do it on one page or you can do it in multiple.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the biggest topic in marketing these days, generative AI. How has that come in and impacted landing pages for you?
You know, I'm going to say it hasn't. Not a lot.
Okay, so that's interesting. Is it not working for what you needed to do, or what's the problem with it?
We're using AI as a team mostly for research. That has been very big for us. In terms of creating landing pages, most of our clients have their own CMSs and they're working on with their own, their own products that they can't. It's not like it can suddenly create a new template or we're going to use it for moving stuff around. We don't use it for content generation because we've actually tried that. So I did a series of emails sent from GetUplift where I sent one email that was generated by AI and one that was written by me. And hands down, my emails always had higher open rate and higher click-through rate and higher sales. So we don't actually leverage it for content and copy.
Hey, Talia, besides the fact that you're amazing, Like, what do you think was it that Gen AI was missing? Why was it so much worse than what you did?
It's not personal enough. I think, so I mean, this is specifically to me, okay? When I write emails, I always tell a story. Like you mentioned Queen Charlotte. That's how I write emails. I talk about a series I just watched, and I talk about going to, you know, a garden shop to buy something and a salesperson trying to sell me a lawnmower, even though I don't have any lawn. I talk about very specific stories and things that happen to me in life that are relatable to my audience. AI, no matter how specific I get with, this is the tone, this is the audience, this is the call to action, this is what we're basing this on, you know, it can, I will sometimes get like a sentence out of it. It's good for, you know, playing around, brainstorming, getting ideas, but it doesn't yet have that emotional connection that people can create.
Well, so I get these emails or connections on LinkedIn, and you can tell that somebody's kind of like looked at my profile and knows that I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. And so it'll open with, and it knows what college I went to. So it'll be like, oh, you know, amazing win there by the Stanford Cardinal. Actually, these days they're mostly losing, but amazing win, like how excited you must be. And I'm like, oh, that's like a total emotional disconnect. It feels fake. Right. And so, but as a human.
I'm not saying you can't use AI. I have, you know, a really cool website that I use that Ross Simmons recommended called There's an AI for That. Really cool hub that basically shows all the different AIs you can use and different, you know, tools. And we do use it for research. We use it for brainstorming. We use it for shortcuts in things. But I think when it comes to connecting with your audience, as marketers, we're a little lazy and we spend a lot of time, you know, right now it's AI, but it's always been like this. Automation, personalization, you know, there's always been another buzzword. Nothing big as AI, obviously, but we're always looking for shortcuts as marketers. We're always looking for like that heat map that you can show, which is a nice visual or a graph, but we don't take the time to go deeper and do the foundational work that's needed. So with AI, it's only as good as what you feed it. It's only as good as how much you know about your customer. If you don't know anything about your customer, it's not going to help you.
Yeah. Humans plus machines better than the machines alone. And I'm getting a lot of stories related to that from most people I talk to. But as far as research, that really resonates because one way that I find Gen AI quite interesting is you can say, hey, listen, I'm trying to sell this kind of product. For example, it's hotels. And you say, what kind of different attributes might people have when they're looking for hotels? And it comes up and it says, okay, well, there's budget traveler, there's luxury, there's people who care about location. And sometimes it puts something in it. You're like, oh, I hadn't thought of that kind of traveler, right? And then you can have that conversation with the AI assistant and say, okay, so if it was that type of traveler who was really like budget conscious, like what are some typical keywords they might go look for? And again, it sort of like builds that narrative and it's based on all the information that's out there, right? So that's what's fascinating. The one thing that's also, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, and it's what you're describing here is amazing because it's exactly that. It's brainstorming. If you are even sitting alone and you're working from home, having that like ChatGPT to even just chat to and talk to and like brainstorm with, and you're feeding it what you know and you're responding to it. It's kind of nice. It's cool.
Yeah. It makes working from home not as lonely sometimes. Even for just that, it's useful. Well, great. So the other thing I wanted to go into is we touched a little bit on e-commerce versus lead gen, but any sort of like thoughts on an e-commerce page? You talked about the watch and like talking about battery life. I mean, are there any other like huge differences between a service or a lead gen and a product that you're selling and how you would approach that?
You know, I got to tell you that the book that I'm writing is about applying B2C marketing to B2B. So I actually think that there's a lot that's alike. And everything that you write on a product page for e-commerce needs to be emotional. It needs to be about the customer. I don't think B2B companies are doing that enough. We've been testing it a lot lately, and you know, in the past decade, really, and it's incredible to see the differences and the impact that emotion has on B2B buyers. And I think with e-commerce pages, a lot of the time we're so focused, it's usually the landing page, right? A lot of ads are just directing to the product page, and you're just assuming they're going to understand what this is, where it fits in their lives. So I think there's a lot you can do there with everything on the product page to connect and really...
So give us some of your flagship clients that you're really proud of and some pages that people could check out as far as like this would be a good product landing page.
Well, the thing I would say is that it depends because, you know, what works for one company won't actually work for others. So that's something to keep in mind. We recently optimized Upright's product pages, and I invite you to go there and take a look at them. We also recently worked with Nextbase, they sell dash cams, incredible dash cams. And they now have a new one. And we actually optimized their product pages, and they're heavily leaning into video. So it's interesting to see that connection between copy and video. And those are two websites that you're definitely, welcome to look at. I think there's a lot of companies that are doing it right because they're starting to think about their customers and they're starting to understand the importance of it. So slowly, slowly, I'm seeing more and more companies use it. B2B is a bit different. That's where we're trying to make the difference.
Great. Well, fantastic advice. Let's do a little round of rapid fire here. So I'll keep my question short. You keep your answer short. See where this goes. So what is something that you believe in that a majority of other marketers might disagree with?
Best practices suck. Is that short enough?
No, that's really short, but now I'm curious and I got to know a little bit more.
They suck because they're like the bare minimum, and everyone, you know, you go online and you search for like, how do I optimize my landing page? And it says, do this one thing, and you'll increase by 300%. Best practices are someone else's, and they're not specific to you and your audience and your product. So I urge people to use best practices with, a grain of salt, and not always copy what other people are doing.
Right. I suppose you can also distill it to like, as with everything in marketing, the answer is always, it depends.
Yeah.
So the best practice, it depends which best practice you need and what your business is. So next question, what's your favorite AI tool and how do you use it?
Oh, I was just telling you, that's the there's an AI for it. So it's not a tool, it's a platform. But I use it because there's hundreds and hundreds of AIs that you can use in it. So I actually have this open right now. There's like for online courses, for startup ideas, for learning, for auto GPT. There's like so many image captions, prompts, productivity, market research. So there's hundreds and hundreds. So instead of you doing this by yourself, or instead of you trying to build your own generator, you would go to this website and just choose one and start using it. So okay. I love that.
There's an AI for that. Great.
Yeah.
What is one important skill that marketers must develop to stand out?
Research. I'm going to say research abilities, more specifically surveys, interviews. You should focus on psychology, emotion, research.
Do you think that is a skill that can be learned, or you, if you're a younger viewer and maybe considering educational options, what would you study versus what would you learn on the job?
I would study psychology for sure, because I think that's the missing piece. you know, tools and platforms and skills can be taught, but foundational thinking, why people buy, how they even make decisions in life, those are critical things you need to understand when you're applying marketing.
Okay. What's an underrated element on the landing page that helps a lot in conversions?
I'll repeat myself and say thank you pages. It's not the actual landing page, it's the thank you page. A lot of people just have like a little pop-up that says, thanks, check your inbox. Thank you pages are the most underrated pages that there are, because they are tremendous for conversion. You can leverage them for upsell, for social proof, for testimonial, just so much. They really are an incredible asset, and not enough companies are using them.
Okay. Final question. Wonder Woman versus Superman.
Oh, Wonder Woman. But that's, I mean, look at my necklace. I'm not going to say anything else.
Hey, well, Talia, you've been fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us and educating people on landing pages. If they want to know more, how can they get a hold of you?
The website, getuplift.co, has so many guides and free courses on emotional marketing and CRO. And you can also find me on LinkedIn, where I post about Charlotte the Queen and lawnmowers and stuff.
So that's Talia Wolf on LinkedIn. Great. And then if you've enjoyed this episode and you want to see more of them, please use the subscribe button and you'll get notified for the next episode. We also run this as a podcast as well as on YouTube. Thank you so much for watching. Talia, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you for the next episode.